Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Wednesday. Big day in the impeachment inquiry. I'm not sure a lot of points were scored. I think there was a lot of confusion, a lot of yelling and screaming and, yelling and accusations. But I do think something important happened today. Two business partners who Americans had never had seen before, they might have heard of their names, Jason Galanis and Tony Bobulinski. They looked into the cameras after being put under oath by Congress, and they said Joe Biden was indeed involved in his son's business dealings and with his business partners. He met with him. He called them. He was the closer. He's not telling you the truth. Then they looked into the cameras and said, you just had Hunter Biden and James Biden in, Tony Bobulinski said, and I'm telling you the account they gave you was perjured. It isn't true. And then Tony Bobulinski, the more aggressive of the two witnesses today, looked over at two Democratic members of the committee and said, they haven't been telling you the truth and they're going to lie again today. And over the next few hours, Tony Bobulinski, Jason Galanis, time and again, provided factual accounts of what happened that showed Hunter Biden got money from China. Hunter Biden called his father. There's a moment where Jason Galanis tells the story of a call. Hunter Biden calls his father while they're in the presence of a Russian oligarch they're trying to do business with. Yelena Bodarini, remember her? We've talked about her a lot on this show on the Just News website. And at the end of the call, the vice president, the sitting vice president, says, take good care of my son, something to that effect. Those are the sort of stories that Americans got to see. If they were watching today, they got to see that. And I think at the beginning of the hearing, really, actually, and again at the end, Chairman James Comer said something I think that makes the clearest case why Republicans opened this impeachment inquiry. It's not that complicated whatsoever. But he basically said that Joe Biden presided over a family operation that targeted vulnerable foreigners who had legal or reputational issues and sold the idea to them for millions of dollars that if they hired the Biden family team, they could ultimately solve their problems, maybe. But the Biden family name could solve their problems. And they collected millions on that. Oftentimes, they didn't deliver. But that is the influence peddling scandal that James Comer, as clearly as anyone has said it, said today at the beginning of this hearing. And I think the two witnesses affirmed it. Now, the Democrats brought in another guy, a guy that once worked with me as a facilitator, meaning someone who interpreted for interviews. He tried to say I made up everything and I was knowingly participating in a Russian propaganda scandal. I wasn't. If Congress calls me to testify, I hope they do, actually, I'll be glad to give the records that will show what really went on between Mr. Lev Parnas and me, what really I reported, what things I was given that I did not report because I was able to prove it wasn't true. I hope if James Comer and Jim Jordan are out there, if you're listening, go tell them. Subpoena John Solomon. See what he has to say. I think I could bring a pretty big amount of facts to the table. I'm not going to bring spin. I'm going to bring opinion. But I'll bring some facts, and I'll leave that to you to decide whether you like that idea or not. All right, we're going to kick today's show off with a great interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I caught her last night after she had conducted a hearing on concerns about a possible sale of body organs or organs from aborted fetuses, something that's outlawed by law, but that there's a lot of evidence, including a prior Justice Department investigation, into. We'll have that and a whole lot more. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene will also talk about what's next in the process of the impeachment, what's next in the process of the budget, how Republicans go into the election, perhaps without budget cuts or border policy changes forced on the Democrats, but with a roadmap of what they could do if they had the House, the Senate, and the White House. We'll talk about all that. In the second part of the show, it is Wednesday, right? It's AMAC Wednesday. And you know what we do when that happens. We've got my good friend, Bobby Charles, former Assistant Secretary of State, current national spokesman for the AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. And we're going to talk about Haiti. It is a crisis brewing right off of our coast. We're going to talk about Haiti. We're going to talk about the impeachment. We're going to talk about the war on free speech and so much more. As you know, Bobby Charles has some of the most extraordinary experience of anyone in Washington, an assistant secretary of state, a clerk for an appellate judge, a chief investigator for the very oversight committee that you saw in action today. He was one of their investigators a generation ago when it did some of the most important oversight of the Clinton administration and other important scandals. So we'll have that today. It's a good one. And I want to shout out at the beginning of this show that there is always a way, and I always love this, to join AMAC. And this month, the best way to join AMAC is to make it 2-for-1 because AMAC is such a good partner with Just the News, with John Solomon Reports. They're doing something pretty special. They're going to give you a opportunity to buy one membership. You pay for one, you can give it as a gift. You got Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, graduations coming up. Give the gift of AMAC to someone you love. It is an incredible gift. It goes living on in the form of daily news briefings, weekly podcasts, monthly magazine, a bevy, and I do mean a bevy of discounts. I use it all the time for my travel. It more than pays for itself, just the discounts. Then you're also joining an incredible community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation and want to work together. Maybe you guys can join together and do something like election observing or talk to lawmakers about possible solutions in your state legislature right up to your Congress. Yeah, I mean, go to one of the boot camps. I'm pretty excited about boot camps, right? Yeah, learn how to be a better engaged citizen in America. All of that is important stuff. So to do that this month, go to amac.us/justnews, amac.us/justnews. And when you buy a membership for yourself, you're going to give yourself a great gift. You're going to get a gift membership that you can give to someone else. Now, that is darn cool. I recommend you do that. It's a pretty fun, exciting thing. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Marjorie Taylor Greene, right after these commercial messages.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. If you were watching Just the News yesterday, you probably saw live a hearing that was held on Capitol Hill by Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene on the abortion industry and some of the really troubling allegations that have been around a very long time. In fact, I did a story back in 2018 at the Hill, in which the Justice Department said it was looking at the trafficking of body parts from aborted fetuses And yet nothing ever happened. Yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene put that front and center for the American people to see exactly what was going on. And we're very lucky to start the show today with the Congresswoman herself. Congresswoman, good to have you back on the show.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me on today.
This is a very important issue. I wrote about it 6 years ago. The Justice Department said they had a real investigation. I remember Senator Grassley made some criminal referrals. Nothing's ever really happened to try to address this trafficking of body parts. And yesterday was a really jarring hearing. It was hard for people to hear what is really the truth.
It was certainly a very difficult hearing to sit through, but it's one of the most important issues that I believe people need to understand. And you're right, you covered this story years ago, and nothing has been done about it. Even though the Oversight Committee did their investigation, many of these videos were widely circulated all over social media, talked about on the news. Criminal referrals were written, and the Department of Justice completely let it go. And what we did yesterday during this hearing is we brought David DeLeiden in, and he brought, you know, we already had the videos that had been subpoenaed years ago on the Oversight Committee. So we brought the information back out to light. And this is where you had Planned Parenthood executives, abortion clinic owners and managers, and all kinds of people in the abortion industry at conferences, and David DeLeiden is an investigative journalist who does incredible, very heroic work. And he has it all on video where they are talking about harvesting organs, selling babies' organs, talking about how much money they make, hundreds of thousands of dollars selling these aborted babies' body parts and organs. Even admitting to breaking federal law with the partial birth abortions, talking about ripping off limbs in order to break the law so that these babies could be aborted and their torsos were intact and they could harvest organs. It's all about organ harvesting for profit, for unbelievable profit. And, you know, John, while the issue of abortion is being pushed in the 2024 election, I think it's incredibly important to actually talk about abortion itself and talk about the unbelievably evil industry that is probably, I can't even imagine, hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars for profit of selling aborted babies' body parts. And that's the real story that needs to be talked about when we're talking about abortion. This is not women's reproductive rights. We're talking about the brutal, barbaric, horrific murder of human beings every single day and selling their body parts for profit.
There's a moment early in the hearing where Teresa Bogonovich played the videotape of what led to what we know to be the DC-5. It's a very difficult video to watch if you've never seen an aborted fetus, but it was so compelling. I think at one point there were 40 or 50,000 people a minute watching on Twitter. This is video that often gets suppressed. It doesn't get played. You chose to show it at the hearing. Why?
Well, the reason why I chose to show it is because I believe that, you know, we have to talk about it. This is an issue that has to be talked about. And abortion is sold to women all over the country. It's sold to America as a woman's right. It's sold to America as reproductive health care. And let's be very clear. When we're talking about abortion, we have to be completely truthful and talk exactly what abortion is. And I chose to show this video because late-term abortion is happening in Washington, D.C., and this is a story that, you know, was just shocked people, blew people away. You know, people were devastated by watching it. But people need to see what these babies look like. This baby was very likely around 33 to 34 weeks in gestation, which is a baby that if it was born prematurely at that age would have no problem living. Of course, wouldn't very, very easy for babies at that gestational age to survive. And this is a baby, you know, I'm a mom and I've delivered three healthy, wonderful children that I've raised. And any mother that watched this video could see that this was a baby. This was not a clump of cells, not tissue, not a problem to be solved. This was a baby and a human being that deserve the right to life.
It is an extraordinary moment. There's been so few people that have had the courage to really delve into this black market, into the selling of baby organs and tissue, fetal tissue. You and Senator Grassley are really the only two people that I've ever seen, you know, obviously David Daladian and Teresa, but very few members of Congress have done it. Why do you think there's not more courage in politics, more courage in the Justice Department to delve into this issue? The law is very clear. You can't sell body organs from aborted fetuses. Yet there seems to be pretty overwhelming evidence when you look at the undercover tapes, when you look at some of the exchanges of emails that have been made public. Why is there more political will to take this on? The law is clear.
I think that's the question of the century, John. There's not enough political will to do anything right in Washington, D.C., let alone bring justice for these horrific actions. The evidence is overwhelming. Full-on admissions on video by abortionists and Planned Parenthood executives, abortion clinic owners, full on admitting and talking about selling, harvesting baby body parts, organs, and selling them for profit and bragging and laughing about how much money they make. Full-term abortions. I mean, breaking every single federal law. There is no excuse. I just say there's no excuse. There's no excuse for anyone in Washington, D.C. to pass the buck on this and do nothing about it. And my question is where is the Department of Justice on this? These criminal referrals were made years ago. Supposedly the investigation had started at the Department of Justice. Just because the Department of Justice changed hands to the Biden administration doesn't mean that these laws are still broken. Now we know who the Democrat Party is, John. This is the party that voted to legalize abortion up until the day of birth, and they did that last Congress twice. What we had to vote no on that bill, and they passed it twice out of the House. So I can only say that abortion is the most evil thing in human history, and no one here will do anything about it.
It is a remarkable thing because the evidence is there. And again, people can be on whatever side of the debate they want to be on abortion and its legality, but there are laws in the books that still need to be enforced. And I think yesterday you exposed in significant fashion the lack of action. It was really, really pretty remarkable. I want to turn to another issue because you have also been so deeply involved in the oversight issues involving Hunter Biden, Joe Biden. It really is a Joe Biden scandal. Hunter Biden's just a player in it. In the last few weeks, we've seen extraordinary evidence that Hunter Biden was trying to help a Chinese company buy one of the crown jewels of our nuclear reactor industry, Westinghouse. We saw overwhelming evidence that he tried to make money trying to unindict or try to get an oligarch unindicted who had been indicted by his father's Justice Department. The ask was $5 million for that. We saw with the testimony of Eric Schwerin, Joe Biden accepting free help from Hunter Biden's business associate so he could do his taxes for Joe Biden and his accounting and his bill paying and his ethics statements. So many shocking things that if the person's name were Donald Trump or the Trump family, there'd be breaking news. How much do you think the American people now understand about what the Bidens were engaged in?
I think the American people know and believe it, John. But it's my colleagues here in Washington that refuse to do anything about it. The question isn't even there of did he do this? We've already provided all the evidence and we're continuing to provide that. We have a very important hearing today that Hunter Biden was supposed to come to, and his attorneys have said he's not coming yet. We'll see what happens. But, you know, the reality is the American people totally believe Joe Biden was involved and involved to the highest level. And the American people believe he should be impeached. But yet it remains a question here in Congress. So I think the answer that we can provide to your listeners today is an answer they already know. There is no political courage in Washington, D.C. There is no will to do the right thing. There is no effort to hold people accountable how they should be held accountable. It's always the other way around. And tragically, I wish it were different. You know, I'm trying to do everything I can on my part, but I'm one of 435. So it's a little complicated.
It is. Any doubt in your mind that if Hunter doesn't show up, if he defies the request that he once asked for, he asked for this hearing, he wanted this hearing, do you support enforcing a subpoena, dropping a subpoena and enforcing it?
Oh, 100%. I completely support subpoenaing, giving him a subpoena. I completely support holding him in contempt of Congress if he doesn't show up. That's absolutely what we should be doing. He called our committee a circus. You know, it's Hunter Biden that has created the circus over and over again. When we've asked him to come and subpoenaed him, one time he showed up and had a press conference on the Senate side that Eric Swalwell had set up for him. And then the second time we were voting to hold him in contempt of Congress because he didn't show up for a subpoena. And then he decided to show up. And I think everyone remembers that video very clearly. That when it was my turn to speak and Chairman Comer recognized me.
He rolled up the carpet.
Yep, he ran out of the room.
No doubt about it. One last question. Big ruling yesterday in the Supreme Court. Texas will be allowed to, at least for the time being, enforce its illegal immigration law, meaning that people arrested in the state of Texas and who don't have legal status can be thrown out of Texas for essentially trespassing. A big win for Texas. I know your home state of Georgia is thinking of something similar. Does this create a wave or does it encourage other states? Hey, jump on and do this. It's a way to stop illegal immigration when Joe Biden won't.
Absolutely. I think this is an easy thing for red states to do. I think every single Republican state, I wish Democrat states would do it too, but they love illegal immigrants. They create sanctuaries for them. But yeah, I hope Georgia does it. I think every Republican state needs to do it. States have a right to protect their borders, and they have a right to throw people out that don't belong there. So I'm solidly in support of it.
Yeah, I think that's a trend line we're going to be watching a lot more of. Congresswoman, it's always an honor. This was such an important hearing. We wanted to make sure that it got the attention it's due. Thank you for spending time with us today and bringing us up to speed on it.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to have Bobby Charles in a second. Hey, I want to mention something. I've been trying to keep this on your front radar this entire time. It is so important what is going on in the courts. The courts have been one of the last lines of defenses for those inalienable rights that so many Americans have taken for granted, the right of free speech, the right of free worship, religious liberty. In all of that time and all of that opportunity, there's been an erosion of those rights. There is a mindset creeping into our government, into our courts, into our schools, into our colleges, into our government agencies, that the essential rights, the inalienable rights that we once were granted, may be inconvenient rights for those who believe in big government or believe in reducing liberty for a globalist good. That is a scary development. And you saw it this week with Ketanji Brown Jackson, a Supreme Court justice who actually suggested that the First Amendment was inconvenient, hampering, I think is the word she used, the government in its ability to censor Americans. Someone who rose to the top of her legal profession to get the highest appointment in the judicial world would see an inalienable right as an inconvenient right is so alarming. Well, my good friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom are fighting cases, trying to get them to that Supreme Court to win new victories to protect the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the religious liberty that go with it. ADF has been around a long time, 30 years. They brought some of the most important and impactful cases in constitutional history. They got two right now in front of the Supreme Court, the very Supreme Court that Ketanji Brown Jackson's on, and of course, all the other justices. If you want to get involved with those fights, if you want to be able to say, friends, I stood up for freedom. I stood up for free speech. I stood up for free religious liberty. I'm standing up to any notion that these First, Second, all the Bill of Rights are somehow anything other than inalienable, granted from God. I'm standing up to fight against that mindset. Well, then all you got to do is make a donation. Any size would help. Go to adf.org/John. adf.org/John. and you can make a donation of any size. They're trying to raise $5,000 this month from our community, the Just the News, John Solomon Reports, Just the News, No Noise community. If you can help, if you can chip in, if you can make a difference, by all means, go there right now, adf.org/John. Give whatever you can and join the fight for freedom. It's an important one. And like I said, two very important cases, one involving Idaho's abortion law, another one involving the FDA. This is about protecting lives, protecting safety, protecting personal rights. And I think ADF's history, when you go to the website, you'll see is really quite impressive. So be sure to check it out. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Bobby Charles is going to be here, AMAC Wednesday. Remember, you go to amac.us/justnews, get one membership and get a second one free. Pay for one, get one free, and give it as a gift. That's a cool idea. I love it. All right, we'll be right back with Bobby right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. You know it's Wednesday, so it is AMAC Wednesday, that moment where we get to hear some great wisdom from our good friend Bobby Charles at the Association of Mature American Citizens. Bobby, great to have you back on the show. There's a lot of places to go, but I want to start with something that's right off of our coast, growing unrest in Haiti, the inability of Americans to even evacuate from there, gangs taking over the entire island, the leadership collapsing. There's a lot going on, but at the end of the day, the biggest problem for Haiti is what a lot of Americans are experiencing here. They can't afford to live in this inflated world economy that Joe Biden set in motion, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. And if I can just unpack it quickly, John, Haiti has been unstable for a long time. Big instability in 1994, again in 2004 when my bureau deployed to that island to try to stabilize it. And we had airframes and people down there. But what's just happened was completely avoidable. What happened, and it, you know, it's an indicator of things that could happen in the future around the world and here, is that the Biden administration, of course, in January 21, you know, day one, started shutting down the fossil fuel production in this country. In fact, they just issued these ridiculous regulations that say that Americans will not be allowed to buy cars. 70% of all the cars that will be made must be electric by 2027. And it's ridiculous. It's completely contorting the market. But what happened in Haiti is in 2021, at the end of 2020, when Trump was president, the price of gas in Haiti, which is it is the most central component to everything they do. They get all 500 million barrels they get from the United States. That price was $39. By late 2021, it was up to 70. By early 2022, is at $94. They can't afford it. They just went berserk. And so, unfortunately, the political stability compounded by some other local factors, but really driven by the, and no one's reporting this. Biden basically came down like a boulder on that country, and the result was they were unable to handle it in terms of political stability. So there was an assassination of the president in late 2021, and 2022 these fuel related riots go through the roof, and now he looks around, you got 1,000 Americans stranded there. Well, yeah, and you got chaos in a country that didn't have chaos. And why? Because you put pressure on them they didn't need to have put on them. And, you know, the rest of the world's still using fossil fuels out the wazoo. But we're gonna now suffocate ourselves and our allies and even those close at hand, because we're not going to use the fossil fuels that we actually have more of than almost anyone in the world. It makes no sense, John.
Yeah, even our allies and those who depend on us, our customers, are feeling that pain. There also has been the issue of Haiti elections being delayed ever since the president was assassinated. The U.S. has kind of allowed that to go on, but it seems like that builds into some of the Haitian frustrations too. They haven't had an elected leader in some time since the assassination. Do we really have a good grip on, did we have a good grip on understanding how unstable this was? For a lot of people, it seems like, oh, this just blew up, but this has really been burbling for 3 years, right?
It has. And I will go a step further. You know, what we're really facing is the prospect that Haiti and the complete collapse to control by criminal gangs, even, you know, beyond where Venezuela is right now, is going to lead to a mass exodus. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see boats fill up with people and come from Haiti to Florida, which is why, of course, Florida's deployed their National Guard. And I have no doubt the Coast Guard is putting a buffer in there. But, you know, this administration has been reckless with the lives of Americans and reckless with the lives of those who are allies. And this is one more example. It is chaotic, John. It needs to refine a certain degree of equipoise. There has to be some stabilization there. I suspect strongly the UN will get involved, and we will have to get involved. Another cost, you know, if I can just put an exclamation point on this, the Biden administration has branded themselves the author of chaos around the world, from Afghanistan to the relationship with China to Europe and Russia and Ukraine and Iran and Gaza. And they are the embodiment of what happens when you have a leaderless United States out there. They are the fathers of chaos. And so what you have in Haiti is one more symptom of what happens when the United States is no longer viewed as and no longer asserts itself as the moral leader of the world. As Rich Armitage and Colin Powell once said to me very, very persuasively, when you pull your fist out of the bucket, it fills in around you real fast. This is what the Biden administration has done and why the United States needs to step up again as a global leader. We are a strong, morally centered, selfless, good-hearted, absolutely stability desiring people. We have done that. We saved Europe twice with world wars that cost us half a million men in World War II. We are boys, really. We step in because we as a people understand that these rights and liberties matter. This administration as a government has failed us brutally and is failing our allies.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable. And, you know, you talked about how the lack of clarity, the silly sort of policies that often conflict with each other, how it sends signals throughout the world. Daily Signal had a fascinating statistic the other day. Under Joe Biden, who's only been in office for three of the first 4 years of his term, he's had more embassy evacuations overseas than any other president in history, 11 of them. And, you know, we think of Haiti now, but there's been several ones. There was one in Niger, and there was one in Khartoum, and there was, of course, the Afghanistan disaster. The reason there's so much evacuations is that so many countries have gone unstable on his watch. It's pretty remarkable. If you're a State Department diplomat right now and used to be an assistant secretary of state, this is an uncomfortable time, isn't it?
It is, John, because we live, all of us as individuals and as leaders within defense or state or anywhere else. And as you know, I was, you know, 10 years naval intelligence and assistant secretary actually for these exact kinds of places around the world. We had programs in 70 countries trying to keep them stable. With law enforcement support, rule of law, all these things. Bottom line is we need a degree of predictability in life, or life becomes chaos, and chaos devolves to anarchy, and anarchy dissolves civil society. So the whole point here is it's a domino. And the bottom line is this matters. This is not a game. This is not politics. This is about the stability of the world. And this president has fumbled the ball and kicked it in all directions on the field. It is a disaster.
Yeah, I think that is a major, major challenge for that. I want to turn to one other issue quickly before we go, and that is we're learning more and more every day, and it's kind of rewarding for me to see mainstream news organizations now beginning to pick up stories that we broke. I think it was the New York Times picked up the story about the the very good lawyer who had been smeared by the committee, actually being cleared now by all of the bar and disciplinary things. CBS broke the story, matched our story on the gallows being set up in plain view of cops and no one ever trying to stop it. Why would that go on for hours and no one say, hey, you shouldn't be building gallows on the Capitol lawn? So much of the testimonies now that are broken out into public that we first broke, the Secret Service driver, others saying that the main narratives that the Democrat committee pasted on the American people, they weren't true. They were actually debunked or conflicted in their own testimony. Do you think Americans are waking up that January 6th, and again, bad things happened on January 6th, but some of the storylines are going the route of Russia collusion, Ukraine, Joe Biden, the laptop. Another story has unraveled because Democrats overplayed their hand.
Yeah, I'm going to go a step further, John, and I credit you because you peeled back the first layers of this onion. But I talk with the Hill at least every week, every couple of days, and just understand what's happening. And what's really occurring here is it turns out that the whole January 6th committee was an act or an exercise in premeditated deceit. If I can coin a phrase, this premeditated deceit involved literally lying about suppressing and even to this moment, not allowing Republicans to see material that others indicate is extremely exculpatory of many of those who were prosecuted, many of those who have been detained and not prosecuted, and of the president himself. And the examples that come to my mind immediately from Loudermilk's committee, and he has just done a spectacular job of being methodical, careful.
And fact-driven. He's just giving people the facts. Yeah, just the facts.
Very fact. Exactly. Just the fact. Where's the phrase I think we could use more of? But yeah, just the facts. I mean, what did he do? He found out that actually Trump had permitted the National Guard at the call of Mayor Bowser and at the call of Speaker Pelosi to come in and protect the Capitol hours, days before, and they never did it. They instead punted it. It turns out that there are law enforcement folks who were in those crowds, and the videos now reveal it, that were not playing a law enforcement role, or at least they were playing a role that seemed not to be aligned with law enforcement. It turns out that people like New York Times reporters were climbing through these windows in full concert with the people who were peacefully getting into the Capitol to register their disaffection. They bottom line on all this, John, and then it turns out that there were 100 files that the Republicans discovered existed, finally got their hands on, and the upshot was the Democrats wouldn't give them the encryption keys. And then they hid files we're talking hundreds, by giving them to the White House, who only gave them back to them redacted, so they don't even know what the interviews and depositions really said. And in the end, what this really boils down to, Liz Cheney, I mean, one of the two co-chairs, apparently browbeat every single witness, was in there with every witness, got angry at them when they did not conform to what she wanted them to say, would stalk out. This is not the way you conduct a proper investigation. In the court of law, a couple final points. In the court of law, in a court of law, you have what's called Brady evidence and Jenks evidence. It must be, if exculpatory evidence exists, that is evidence that proves the innocence of the party you're investigating, you must disgorge it to the court. You must reveal it. Instead, the Democrats took thousands of pages and hid them, and videos, and hid them, and argued in their report that Republicans were surveilling ahead of time. No, it turns out that is completely untrue. There's not even an ounce of truth to it. So they slimed and defamed And I would argue that criminal statutes may be implicated here, John, because when you intentionally...
Actually, Loudermilk said so the other day on the show. He said that.
Premeditated deceit is borderline criminal when it involves the lives of other people, and that is exactly what this involves. So what does it really mean? It means that this narrative was another creation, like the Russian collusion creation, like the idea that they were really telling the truth to the FISA court when they weren't, like the idea that, Hillary Clinton just accidentally destroyed everything on our servers. No, these are all lies. And I think the sad part is the Democrat Party, to echo something we talked about a week ago, John, they have rebranded themselves as the purveyors of untruth, and that's not good for anyone. There are truthful Democrats out there, and they're going to bear the burden for an awful long time of leadership that was untruthful with the American people. All we ask is that people honor the trust we vest in them.
And let us make up our own mind once we have it. But if they hold things from us, like the FBI withheld things from the FISA court, January 6th committee held things from the Republicans and the American public, we don't get that truth. It's such a hijacking of the trust we've had in these institutions for so long.
It really is. It really is, John.
Bobby, we love having you on. I've got to run quickly to go back into the hearing that we're watching. But later on, I'll tell everybody again how they can get a great membership with our good friends at AMAC. But thanks for joining us today. It's such a great honor.
Absolutely. And God bless you and everybody out there fighting for truth, including AMAC.
Thank you, my friend. Absolutely. AMAC is right there on the forefront of fighting for truth. It's one of the great truth seekers in this country. All right, Bobby, we'll talk to you next week, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to all of our guests today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bobby Charles, our good friends at ADF.org. Tomorrow, Kelly Loeffler, the former Georgia U.S. Senator, she's been working on building a coalition in Georgia to get early voting, to get out the vote, to change the way that Republicans get their vote out, register, vote early, get through provisional status, vote on Election Day. She is a groundbreaking leader in this movement. A lot of people say, can we actually do this? Can we actually succeed? Well, I think Kelly Loeffler is making a track record that is succeeding. We'll have her on tomorrow. Be sure to tune in on that. If you want to make a donation to ADF.org, Alliance Defending Freedom, go to ADF.org/John. ADF.org/John. Go give whatever you can. They're fighting some of the most important liberty cases in America. Also, another important one that I'd like to keep on your radar. There is an important time. AMAC, there's a limited time. You can buy a membership, become part of the AMAC Patriot community, and get a free one to give as a gift. I love that. That is such a cool idea. Go to amac.us/justnews, amac.us/justnews, and give the gift of patriotism to one of your friends and to yourself at the same time. Two for one. That's a pretty good deal. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day.